Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. We are the News Lads, and this is the News Lads. But turns out there's hardly any news at the minute because we're rolling in to the end of 2020, and pretty much everything is just not really happening. I'm Scott Tilford, your host, joined by Mr. Josh Brown.
Hello, Scott Tilford. Hello.
Hello.
My friend.
We just thought that when there's very little news out there, and chances are that because we've said this, or I've said this, something massive will break this afternoon, right? Microsoft will buy Sony, or Bethesda will do another Fallout, or happens every week.
Well, I've got a bone to pick with the news gods, actually, Scott Telford, because I feel like they just do it. They just drop the big news every time I leave work. It was 5:30 on Friday last week, and then I've got the message from you saying Oscar Isaac has been cast as Solid Snake.
I didn't even type that out. I just put Oscar Isaac, Solid Snake, capital letters over and over again. That was all you got.
That's all I needed. But at that point, it was 5:30. I'd finished work at 5. I'd been in the shower, got in my pajamas. Filming news was impossible unless I just wanted to...
How fast is your turnaround? Like, I know we're at home, but you just literally like close the laptop, and then just there's a pair of pajamas hanging in midair that you step into.
it's like those old cartoons where you'd have that routine and like the robots would do most of it.
Yeah,
it sort of feels like that. I put the laptop down and then I just get shimmied along on my chair to the shower, which is about 5 meters away from me,
and then it just rains
on me. Yeah.
Massive fan. Also, I wanted to give a shout out because you mentioned pajamas, but before we were recording, because I'm recording this in a lovely dressing gown, I've got a lovely hoodie on and I've got a dressing gown over the top because this is an audio only podcast, so I don't need to look very professional for the video side of things, but I'm going to try and get the ball rolling on a social media response to pajamas versus dressing gown because you're very much pro pajama for right now.
Well, to be honest, Scott Tilford, I'm a bit scruffy at the minute. I don't really have a nice set of pajamas or a nice set of
Opal
I don't really sort of like lounge around in me old pants. It's disgusting. Like, I've got crisp packets everywhere. It's not a nice look. So I want a nice dressing gown. And every single time I log on this and do this with you and I see yours, I just get so jealous. And I'm going to actually,
mate.
I was telling you before we started recording, but I'm asking me, ma'am, for Christmas, for a nice little dressing gown now, because I want to get in this sort of dude-esque vibe that you've got on every single week.
It's a beautiful thing, thank you. I think that I was telling you as well that when I will get to some sort of news, lad,
at some point. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's Christmas, isn't it? This is going out this week. We've got other stuff coming in the coming weeks, and we've also scheduled a debate that we're going to do next week. If there's more news that pops up, maybe we'll focus on that. But if there's if there is no news, then we'll just make the content. So we're going to do a big old debate on Demon's Souls, because I think it's a big old pile, but you love it. It's a big old thing. But we'll get to that in the future, Josh Brown.
You've got to save it. No, that's not today's issue, man.
That's next week's thing. And people can weigh in. They can tag it, go on social media, find us on Twitter, let us know what you think of Demon's Souls, and we'll try and roll some of those opinions in. I was probably going to say something else, but let's just talk about some new stuff. The thing I was going to talk about is the increasingly sort of prevalent conversation on just how important the next-gen systems are. Because I did see like a lot of people just saying, what do I actually need this system for? I've got hashtag my mate Dave getting in touch saying, like, do I need to get a PS5 or a Series X? And I don't know if you've had that conversation with like a relative or a friend or someone who comes to you as like the games person, the games friend, and said, okay, should I get this new thing? And it wasn't until I was talking to my brother-in-law about it, because he's going to wait until next year, because he's like, oh, I heard that like the UI on the PS5 isn't as, there's a lot of bugs, and I heard that some things need to be smoothed over and whatever. And I was like, yeah, you actually don't really need to get one right now. And once I started picking it apart, you know, from a more, you know, the average consumer point of view, someone who isn't an enthusiast towards games, who's maybe just like, because basically it's like, you need new system to play what? And there's only two next gen games, Godfall and Demon's Souls, which obviously neither of which I would say are worth buying a system for, but that might differ for you. But where do you generally come down on, you know, 2.5 weeks after getting the system, or be 3 weeks for America or whatever? And what's your thoughts on the necessity of the systems?
I mean, for me, this is always the case when it comes to new console launches, you know what I mean? Like, the people who buy them day one are the people most enthusiastic about it, are people who want to be those early adopters. They want to be there at the starting line. They want to have all of these new features. They want to try out the new controller. They want to try out the up-resed version of games that, yeah, they can play on other consoles, but you can't get Assassin's Creed in 60 frames per second on the PlayStation 4 or the Xbox One, you know what I mean? So there are slight differences.
You could on a Pro or a Xbox One S/1X.
Is that true? Is it that well optimized on the Pro?
I'm pretty sure the performance mode will give you 60, but it'll be 1080.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So, well, the point is, though, that it's very incremental otherwise, you know what I mean? I wasn't going to bat and being like, well, this is like a huge leap up. But at the same time, like, this has always been the case, you know, back to with the PlayStation 4. Yeah, you could argue that had more true next-gen exclusives. You know, you had Killzone, Shadowfall, you had Knack, you had Rise, Son of Rome, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I would argue they were also not worth buying a console for day one. But I just think this is the case we come through every 7 years, man. We always ask, is it necessary? And then you get into like this philosophical web of what is necessary and what isn't. Like, to me, I don't regret buying my next gen machine. I love playing it, and it gave me a jolt of excitement that I really needed because of this year that we're having. But at the same time, I do also think it's a really great piece of kit, and I have thoroughly enjoyed the games that have come along with it. Both the true next-gen exclusives, as well as the up-resed versions of, you know, games like Spider-Man Miles Morales, or I'm Ghost going to get Ghost of Tsushima, even God of War. Like, there's not much difference, but it's enough to appreciate it, you know.
So here's the thing: you mentioned that you know, it's the same every time for the launch cycle of a system. It's just it's weird because they've got a fascinating sort of like thought process. It's like, are the likes of Knack, Killzone Shadowfall, or on the Xbox side, like you said, Rise, Son of Rome, Killer Instinct, is it just better to not bother with those initial launch games that are always forgotten about? They're never a true great. There's like two consoles in gaming history that have had a true great title at launch, which was Super Mario World on the SNES and Breath of the Wild on the Switch, which was also on the Wii U, so it barely counts. Is that just something to be sort of sideswiped and go, look, to be honest, our R&D, our money, our budget, whatever, is best put into the idea of up-resing your existing library rather than putting something out, having a sea of Knacks or a sea of Killzones, or at least things to be that are fundamentally next-gen that you fundamentally cannot play on the previous system?
Yeah, I do think so, because, I mean, you know, when we go back to those other generations, it's sort of common knowledge that the best games come 2 or 3 years after the machine launches, you know, once the developers have finally been able to get to grips with it, once they start making, you know, generation-exclusive games for it, once they stop having to ship, like, 5 or 6 SKUs of the, of like, one Assassin's Creed, you know what I mean? Then we get stuff like Unity or whatever, but I do think it's better to kind of focus on optimizing the games that do exist right now for all of the machines. Otherwise, we get in a position like we were with the PlayStation 4, where I loved Battlefield 4 at launch, but like, that thing was a complete trash fire because it was releasing on so many systems. Like, EA and DICE have both come out and admitted that was a major factor. You know, we got Call of Duty Ghosts. That was the first cross-gen Call of Duty for that cycle. And that's, in my opinion, one of the worst Call of Duty games. And I feel like both, like, all of these franchises are kind of learning from those mistakes, and they aren't doing that again. Like, this time around, Call of Duty Cold War, even if I don't think it's the best Call of Duty game, I do think it feels next-gen on a PlayStation 4 or an Xbox Series X. Like, you get the ray tracing, you get the 120 frames per second mode, which is very, very welcome. So
if you can access it,
if you can access it, if you have a TV or a monitor that supports it. But I think brass tacks, these games, like, usually there's a problem with them, but now they're just really, mostly anyway, well optimized. they run better. And you can kind of see and appreciate the differences much more than trying to play a Battlefield 4 and having it look pretty gorgeous and having all of the players in, but having it crash every 5 minutes.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I think it's just, it's a strange thing because like you mentioned like philosophical thought before, and like wider sort of conversations on like value and what does it mean? Like in this case, what does it mean for a next gen system? What is the next generation? And I quite like the, you know, rising tide raises all ships side of making sure that everything is in 60 FPS. Like I feel like it's taken me this long to finally to appreciate 60 FPS. And it's literally just because, you know, these systems can actually play the vast majority of titles in 60. And I'm lucky enough to have the fancy, stupidly priced LG TV that can do 120 frames a second. Can't tell the difference between 60 and 120, Josh Brown, but I can tell the difference between 30 and 60. Although 120 FPS Titanfall 2 did blow my little weenus off and it was incredible. But
that's gross.
It's it is a little bit, but caught it, put it back on. I think that in regards to, you know, those kind of conversations though, that whole thing of like, what is the next generation? Like it's weird because when you, if I bring it back to that conversation I had with my brother-in-law or like, you know, my mate Dave or whatever, then you, it needs to get more granular than just like, well, you can play this game or like, well, you know, you'll see it immediately. Like I remember when me and Cleary did the launch stream for the PS5 and he was looking at Miles Morales and going like, okay, like that's not really, and he was comparing it to like seeing like Tekken Tag for the first time on PS2 or seeing Uncharted for the first time or you know, something like that. And I don't know, like we talked about it on a different podcast, but it's like, is that era of gaming just gone where we're going to have to get more granular, where you kind of have to go in and sort of like just find out, well, you know, it's a higher frame rate. And if you sort of like do look at this, look at the background detail, look at this LOD, like, look at this stuff. And like, I don't know, like when I played Godfall, because it had so many particle effects and the textures were so insane and it was just this incredible, like it, I think that game makes an incredible first impression. It tanks afterwards, but the start of it's great. And it's just that whole thing. Like, do you just think that's where we are now?
I think so. You know, we're at this point where we've pushed like graphical fidelity for one, like not as far as it can go, but we've sort of plateaued a little bit in terms of those big generational leaps. Obviously, it's still going to get better and we're still going to be blown away, you know, in 5 years' time. And we're going to compare it to what we have now and be like, oh my God, how did we ever think we couldn't get better than where we are now? But I think, like you said, yeah, the focus here is on a bunch of different avenues that might not have had enough attention given to them. Like Sony's been all in on this kind of revolutionizing sound, and whether or not they've achieved that is yet to be seen.
Oh, the 3D stuff.
Yeah.
It's not even... we should go back to that in a bit.
Right, okay. But the fact that they've tried to do that in Mark Cerny was absolutely spot on in the Wired interview when he was like, look, we've just not paid any attention to this for like three generations now and we're going to do it. We're going to push it forward. Mm. Like we're finding all of these areas where we're, like you said, we're rising the level of quality all around. And when it comes to frame rates, especially, like there was a lot of frustration. I remember in 2013 that the games were still going to be 30 frames per second or struggle to hit 30 frames per second. And now we have, you know, Assassin's Creed in 60, we have Spider-Man Miles Morales in 60. And I was looking at Reddit today, you mentioned that thing of like kind of finally realizing the difference between 30 and 60. I think it was on the PlayStation 5 Reddit or something where this poster was saying, I fully apologize to all the PC players who were complaining that they couldn't play at 30 before, because now you can switch, you know, like in Spider-Man, you have the toggle right there. You switch between performance and fidelity mode. It knocks it from 60 to 30 and you can feel it. And then suddenly 30 feels a little bit wrong afterwards.
I will say though, like that, I thought that was fundamentally disappointing. Like because you can't, because you have to sacrifice something to play at 60. Like you're going to sell me a game on ray tracing and visual fidelity and then tell me that actually, if you want the next gen frame rate, you've got to turn all those things off. Like I thought that was really lame.
I don't, man. I don't, because like
you can't do ray tracing if you put it in 60.
Yeah, but that's kind of like the sacrifice we have to make, I suppose, at least for now. You know, these games, that's just so far beyond what is capable that I'd rather have it in and have the option to turn it on or turn it off to prioritize something else, because I think those things are equally as important. Like I don't know what you would do without those settings. Would you just try to like merge it or like not give you the option for 60? I don't know. I think
enough,
that would be worse.
Yeah. In another sort of philosophical bent, like I would go down whatever the developers think is quote unquote the best. Like it's almost like they don't know. And like that whole thing of like, well, both of these are equally important. Well, I don't know as a consumer, like as a player, like yeah, they're both as important, but that just puts me in like a head-to-head anxiety bubble where I just go, I'm forever sitting there going like, I don't know if this is better in the other mode. And if I can't, like, I go back and forward on those settings so much, and it's really good that on the because of the SSD on the PS5, you can switch between them in an instant. But that just means that I'm switching more and more, and then I have to commit to one of them, and I never know which is better. I would rather a developer just did as much as they can, and then whatever that is, just give me. I want the artist. I want the product that the artist puts out, like, across every form of entertainment, every form of artistry. And so, like, when you give me options, I don't know. I'm not the artist. I don't know. That's always my thing.
It's difficult, man, because at what point you're like, oh, we're gonna get some proper wanky stuff at the moment, I can just tell. Like, we're gonna get to, like, Death of the Author and stuff, because at what point does, like whatever the artist intended, it's also what, like, the player prefers. Like, we are such a diverse array of players now in terms of what we expect out of titles, what we prioritize, and what we want. Like, a lot of people want to prioritize frame rate as much as possible. You know, you get those think pieces over and over that are like, graphics don't matter, I'd rather play it on the lowest settings and have the performance optimized. And that's incredibly valid. Yet on the other hand, you've kind of got, like, got people like me who want to push the resolution as high as possible. They want the ray tracing, they want all these fancy graphical features. And I think it's just different ways of kind of viewing the game. And in the reality that we're in now, where we have splintered in such a way, and we're way more learned in what we know about, like, the tech that goes into video games, and we're way more clued in about, you know, like, the different settings and the bunch of menus that we can skirt through and understand. Like, I just think, you know, we've kind of sadly, for better or worse, moved beyond that point of having one definitive version of a game, because we've got all of these different consoles, we've got all of these different players playing at different levels, and we've got all of these different priorities that kind of differ between the art department or the level designers and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's a lot of the stuff with this generation of consoles feels the most like the tech industry, like the idea of, and it's not that these systems are as iterative as a new phone every year or something like that, but it's, for me, it's the same mindset. Like, I only know one person from all my friends that gets a new phone every year. Like, they're that crazy. Whereas I feel like most people give it at least 2, 3, 4 years. I'm like a 3 to 4 year guy. I don't know if you're like chasing phones every year, but I'm just not, because for me, there's not enough of a step up. Whereas, like, that one person that I have that's an enthusiast about it is like, oh, well, you know, they've tweaked this one processor and it's going to load this a little bit faster. And, like, for me, that is fundamentally not as interesting as, you know, the leap between previous generations. But at the same time, you obviously just can't expect that as much. But at the same time, like, to bring it back to, you know, exclusive games or next generation games or next gen features like the 3D audio, I don't know. For me, I do think you should be able to hold up a list of bullet points that say, like, look, these new systems that are worth $500,000 each can do these things that you couldn't previously do before. I think that that's valid on a consumer, customer, you know, qualifier level. And it's just, I don't know, it's fascinating picking it apart, because I am satisfied with these new systems. But then whenever somebody asks me, why should I get one? It's, you have to get granular about it in the way that you would about, like, a vinyl player or a new phone or whatever. And I don't know, that's not necessarily a negative, but, like, I think that we're in a different paradigm of thought in regards to consoles now compared to where we were before.
I think we are, but I don't think it's that kind of tech specific. Like you mentioned there, like, having a list of bullet points. I think you could still get that list of bullet points quite comfortably and then sell it to someone who doesn't really know that much about consoles or isn't an enthusiast. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at the PlayStation, well, then you just got, like, you've got, like, 3D audio, you've got the DualSense and all of the features that comes with that. You've got higher resolutions, 4K resolutions, you've got higher frames, you've got ray tracing. Like, that's just the tip that I'm reeling off the top of my head. You know what I mean? Like, those are big features that we couldn't get before. And I think just by looking at those, people kind of understand, or by looking at the marketing that the next gen, you know, companies put out, like, that's conveyed.
I would even contest that, because I would say, like, 3D audio isn't there yet. It's not in the PS5. It's only on headsets. Like, haptic feedback is only really good in Astro. We tend to turn it off in Call of Duty multiplayer or something. I mean, what other game sells haptics in a way? Like, Astro does it, but then it burns the controller out in 3 hours. And then frame rates and resolutions after that.
I know what you mean, but I think there's more examples, man. Like, for me, Demon's Souls and Spidey are, like, use the controller really well. Like, from the microphone to the pressure on the triggers to the rumble in it. Like, I don't know. I think, obviously, Astro is the one that you go to because that's the flashiest. That's the one that is literally, you know, kind of a controller tutorial and more than it is a game. But I do think that, like, for instance, I was playing Spider-Man Miles the other day. and the haptics turned off because my controller was like really low, and like I just saved it in time, and it kind of like glitched out. It was in this liminal space. It wasn't quite dead, but it wasn't quite alive. And it was only when everything was turned off that I realized how much I missed them. I missed the thwip of the web that comes through the microphone. I missed the little resistance when I'm pulling down for a swing. I missed the rumble when I'm doing the Venom moves. And it was stuff like I sort of took for granted because it's been there since I picked the game up. And then once it wasn't there, I was like, hang on, this is actually doing way more than I thought it was doing, and now it's not there. I totally, totally miss it.
Okay. Yeah, I think for me, I'm yet to have a moment like that. Like, it's not, I do value the DualSense. I really like the controller, the feel of it, and I like those additional elements. But it was just that case of, like, Astro does it so well. Like, I think Astro is one of my games of the year. I think it's immaculate. But then playing something like Call of Duty, where it was like, you know, you only use a single shot, like a rifle, like a bolt-action rifle or something, and do multiple shots in a row, and it just, the controller is fighting you to do that. And I was like, okay, this gets in the way of gameplay. And I sort of had to go back and forward on, like, the idea of a controller feel dictating a loadout, and like, that's kind of cool, that's kind of next gen. I want to get a weapon that feels good, and same in Demon's Souls, but at the same time I'm restricting access to certain weapons, certain items and stuff like that, because the controller quote unquote gets in the way. And so I've kind of gone splitting the difference on that. I just chose to turn the haptics off in Call of Duty so that I could get the loadout that I wanted and try a better variety of weapons. So I think that's like an ongoing talking point, but I think something to roll in, you mentioned 3D audio. Have you I don't notice any 3D audio anything when I've got headsets on. I don't, like, because in for me the standard for 3D audio would be Hellblade. Like, that game was obviously recorded with binaural mics, it was recorded with 360 degrees of audio, whereas they've said, Sony have said that they use their Tempest algorithms to change any game into 3D audio, but at the minute it only works on headsets. But I'm still not really noticing anything different as to any other heads, like playing using a headset on any other game.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Ah, see, I have. It's obviously not as good as it is in, like, Hellblade. I don't think it'll ever be as good as a game tailored for that 3D system with made with that in mind. Just in the same way that auto HDR is never going to be as good as real HDR, you know, on the Microsoft side of things. Mm-hmm. But that said, I remember the first time I gave it a go was playing Zombies and Call of Duty Zombies. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, it worked, man. Like, being able to, like, pinpoint exactly where these zombies were, the kind of atmospherics that were going on, it did increase my immersion in a way. Same with Demon's Souls, like the level in Boletaria where you've got the red dragon overhead. Like, the screams coming from that thing while I was trying to make it over the bridge, just it adds that extra level of immersion. And again, it's kind of proven your point in a way, because it is very subtle and it is very granular and it's not kind of something big and flashy. But I do think all of these features, like, cumulatively add to a next-gen experience. Like, you have to take them all together rather than just pinpoint them in isolation.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like these things aren't, it's not like they can't be held up as bullet points at all. It's just that for me, I think, I don't know, I come at it from I want more stuff. Like, you look at Demon's Souls and you look at, like, that's the thing though. Like I said, you boil it down to the specific next gen titles, those specific next gen features. And it's, if I was going to make a bullet pointed list of, like, fundamentally things that you couldn't do previously, on the Xbox side, the auto HDR stuff has really, like, blown me away. Like, I think that fundamentally enhances everything. You can do that on the Series S and the Series X. And going back to my old library, it fundamentally enhances stuff like Splinter Cell, Mass Effect, you know, going back to any old game that you kind of feel would benefit from a better depth of color or a better depth of, you know, different sort of lighting effects and stuff. Like, it does make those things look better. So I think that is something that, like, I found myself recommending that to people. Like, oh, hey, you should get the Xbox because you get Game Pass and you can auto HDR and everything looks better. But like I said, just on the PlayStation side, it's like, I don't know. I was going to say that whole backwards compatibility thing. Like, how have you? Because it's been two and a half weeks. How have you been splitting your time between going back to old stuff versus, like, only playing the newest things because you have the newest system?
Mostly the new stuff. Like, I made my way through Astro and then through Spidey and then through Demons. And there's probably one more that I'm playing. I'm playing Bugsnax at the moment. But I have been back to some older games. Warzone obviously continues to be, like, a staple. Me and my friends have been playing that all year. And I played Catherine full-bodied over the weekend. Just as a random thing. I did. It was really good. Just something I wanted to tick off. But I found the backwards compatibility quite good. I think it's better on, obviously, games that are patched for the PlayStation 5. Like, they might not be a true next-gen upgrade in the same way that you can have it for Borderlands 3 or Mortal Kombat or whatever. But, you know, like, just the added elements, like you said, Ghost of Tsushima or Days Gone or God of War that I dove back into to finish the ending on PlayStation 5. Like, it's obviously not as flashy as the Xbox, but I think it is. Sony have kind of been quiet about it for no reason when it's really well implemented, at least as far as I'm aware. Yes, there is some finicky stuff when it comes to the UI and making sure you're playing the right game. But I think in terms of making those frame rates solid, you know, making essentially the PlayStation 4 games that work on PlayStation 5 as good as they can be. Like, I think they've done a pretty good job. Like,
no, they have. And I think
they
should have shouted about it so much more. Like, the idea that Ghost of Tsushima just runs at 4K60, the idea that God of War just runs in 4K60. Like, there are various first-party games that if you just put them on PS5, just run better. And I feel like they could have easily just said free PS5 upgrade for all of these games, and they just didn't really bother. Like, there are, it's kind of on each individual dev to sort of flag on the PlayStation Store whether they have a PS5 upgrade, you know, Borderlands 3, Mortal Kombat 11, and whatever. But it's just, that's another thing, and it sort of goes on the, this isn't like in the same wheelhouse as how justified are the next gen systems, but it's more of like a bugbear. Like, for me, a lot of the cloud save stuff and the trophy progress and, like, uploading a save within your old version of the game to then re-download the next one to try and access that save within the game's servers rather than it being done on the system side, stuff like that is really obfuscating. And, like, you know, downloading multiple versions of a game and then trying to delete the old one, but then that deletes the new one because they're working off each other. And it's like, it's night and day compared to how Xbox does it. Like, the series systems, just all the smart delivery stuff. I feel like when Xbox coined the smart delivery term, we didn't really say much about it. We were just kind of like, oh, that's cool. You added a term to the idea of like accessing an old game. But the whole smart delivery system is like it rolls together the most updated version of the game. The saves get automatically carried across. You literally do pick up where you left off. And I miss it. Like it's like I said, mm-hmm. it's night and day. The Xbox just works. Like that phrase has been poisoned by Mr. Todd Howard so much. Literally, like it is magic on the Xbox compared to how it works on the PlayStation. And all that stuff has only gotten in the way. Like I quote unquote had to platinum Mortal Kombat 11 on on PS5 playing the PS4 version because the trophies don't carry over. So I was like, well, I'm not going to restart all 59 trophies. So I was just sitting playing the PS4 version on the PS5 like a moron, even though there's a PS5 version of MK11, which I'm now on. It was just like crazy.
That's infuriating. That's got to be. I would have been absolutely fuming. But when it comes to like that stuff, I fully like agree. I haven't had much personally in the way of issues with that. I haven't really
had
been
it a little bit
between
with
old saves.
Yeah.
A little bit with COD where it loaded up the PlayStation 4 version and I just thought, why are you doing this? Did it continue to download the PlayStation 4 version every single time I deleted it? And I was like, stop it, I don't have the space. And there is a lot of like finicky stuff with that. That's kind of plagued Sony for the longest time, you know, when it comes to not being able to change your username. You know, mm-hmm. really outdated, archaic problems that you would have thought that one of the biggest, you know, media companies in the world would have fixed by now, selling one of the biggest entertainment products. Mm-hmm. And a lot of like, yeah, it's not as smooth as smart delivery from what I know, but it's not a total deal breaker. And hopefully it does get better with time. Like, I don't want to take anything away from Xbox because I really do wish I had an Xbox Series X to play older games because, you know, through Game Pass, through the auto HDR, like you said, mm-hmm. like that system also buffs the base versions of Xbox One games to, you know, as good as they can be on the Xbox Series X. Like, I do wish I had it to be this kind of backwards compatible powerhouse. Mm-hmm. But in terms of what Sony does, I do think that at most, they're just kind of like these bugbears that ultimately will be ironed out further on down the line that are annoying and arguably shouldn't be there, but also aren't like the red ring of death or, you know.
No. I just think that you can very, for me, you can tell that they are playing catch up that like across, because Sony are always reactive, but it's like across this year. I think they sort of, because you can literally tell the difference between the way Jim Ryan was advertising the PS5 at the start of the year, where he's like, yeah, we believe in generations, man, and the way that we're going to do it. And then now it's like, oh, actually, people have got PS4. So like, oh, well, we're not going to abandon them, man. And then it was like, fine. But at the same time, they had a completely opposite approach. And I feel like across 2020, they've had to kind of take a step back and go like, oh, actually, we should do backwards compatibility. We should do, oh, here's the PS Plus collection. And we're going to do all this stuff like I mentioned before with like Ghost of Tsushima, God of War, Days Gone, all these games that suddenly have 4K 60 updates. But then their marketing teams haven't put that out. So it's like, it just feels like they're sort of playing catch up in just a really weird way. I was going to say as well, in regards to cross-gen releases like Miles Morales and the fact that Jim Ryan won't say anything about God of War other than saying it's clearly going to be on PS4 as well, because he would have said otherwise. What's your thoughts on that stuff in regards to rolling it into the necessity of next-gen systems? Like I'm going to ask another question in a bit about like, you know, mm-hmm. do you recommend people buy the systems? Like, you know, are they worth $500 kind of thing, or $1,000? But in regards to cross-gen stuff, are you kind of like me where you want fundamentally next-gen stuff, or like, what's your general thoughts on that stuff?
Obviously when it comes to going into next year, I'll be a slightly disappointed if God of War 2 Ragnarok does turn out to be also a PlayStation 4 game. Not because mm-hmm. I want to spite 100 million PlayStation 4 players, because it will at that point, you know, a year, maybe even more if it gets delayed after the fact. Like, I'd want developers, especially first party developers, to fully take, you know, control of the PlayStation 5 and what it can do and live up to that potential. But at the same time, when it comes to games that are there now, like Miles Morales, I think is one that me and you disagree on, because even though you can play that on PlayStation 4, obviously, for me, it genuinely is like a next-gen showcase. Like, for me, it is up there with Demon's Souls, or I haven't played Godfall, to be fair, but it's up there with Demon's Souls in terms of the fluidity of the animations, the ray tracing, the just like as a graphical showcase. That blew me away, man. Like, I can't deny it. Every single time
Me until I saw the PS4 version and then went, oh, okay, all this text to do. Everything is in the PS4 one, apart from the performance mode and apart from, there's like one of the ray tracing. Like, apart from that, you can pretty much play it on the PS4. Like, what's that Digital Foundry thing going like, oh, okay, like,
Of course you can. But I do think those, I feel like throughout this entire video, we've sort of clashed over the importance of ray tracing and these performance mode. Because you say like there, you forgot that ray tracing was a thing.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I feel
but
like
for me,
I feel like they're hanging a lot of what is next gen on these features. So for me, as a console peasant man who doesn't care about like resolution and whatever, I just want it to work. Like, I just want the simplest. Mm-hmm. I just want it to work. If you're going to say something is next generation, you're going to use fancy buzzwords, then I'm going to need that to live up to the idea of I'm going to throw money at this thing and then it has to pay off.
Yeah. For me, like, the next gen features that are in there do feel next gen, from the fast loading to the ray tracing, which I think looks absolutely gorgeous, to that performance mode, which, like I said, broke my brain and completely changed the way I looked at 30 frames per second action games. To the DualSense, like I said before, like all of the features in that DualSense just added to the immersion. And like I said, I missed it when it wasn't there. So they elevated that experience to a next gen kind of level, at least for me. And there's a mission early on where you're fighting guys in like this kind of like skyscraper, and you've got like this ray tracing on full effect. Oh, and you've seen the reflections in the floor. And I remember looking at that on launch day thinking like, people are saying this isn't next gen, but that's mad. That looks like crazy. That looks so good. And everything's so fluid. And of course it looks great in PlayStation 4, because Spider-Man 2018 looked great in PlayStation 4, you know what I mean? But I thought it was undeniably a next gen experience, and I didn't regret. I didn't have that buyer's remorse that you sometimes get where you think, oof, I could have potentially got a better deal, or I didn't have to spend £500 on a console.
I think, I definitely don't have any regret. I think my overall point is just that sort of that realization that, like, obviously video games for the longest time have been this enthusiast medium, but they've also gotten bigger than ever across the last generation. And so I think it's interesting, or it's ironic, or it's a hell of a talking point that we are bigger than ever, and we'd have more people go, like, and as is evident by the sales and the fact that they're always sold out, more people want the next gen system. But then we almost have the most paltry, quote unquote, like next gen offerings right now, in terms of like, look what you guys should play, look what you guys should look at. And it's like, that is boiled down to, well, like, and it's not that they're nothing, it's not that they're not great, but like the glass in Miles Morales, like there's a couple of levels in Miles Morales that have those reflections, and they look incredible, but I wish it was more of it. Otherwise it's Demon's Souls and Godfall, faster load times and resolutions, whereas like it's just such a crazy time. But that's also maybe reflective of the year that we've had.
Yeah, totally. I mean, when it comes to like the games themselves, of course, I wish there was more. I wish Xbox had some proper exclusives that show off the hardware. Something. I wish we had, you know, even a few more kind of third-party exclusives that would be, you know, exclusive to both the machines. And we don't necessarily have that at the moment, because we are fully in on this kind of like bridging the generations in a way that we've never, ever done before. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to like, if you're an enthusiast of this entire industry, and if you have the money, which is obviously incredibly important, like to buy a console, if you're that like secure, then I think for me, when it comes to this generation compared to the PlayStation 4, I do think it's a bigger step up. I remember getting the PlayStation 4, and what blew me away about that was kind of like a slight increase in scale at launch. I remember like going back to Battlefield 4, the fact that you could get 64 players blew me away way more than any kind of lighting effects or advanced facial animation that was there at launch. Obviously, we saw huge improvements further on down the line, but at launch this time around, I do think what this generation has to offer is fundamentally more of a step up compared to the last one. And for me, that makes them necessary enough to want to go out to buy them, want to invest in games that I wouldn't usually invest in, like Godfall. Like, I usually wouldn't give a crap about Godfall, but the fact that it's a next gen exclusive game makes me excited. It makes me want to try it. It makes me want to see what, you know, they've done on this system.
I can say right now that Godfall is not worth your time, money, or brain space. Like I said, I think it makes a phenomenal first impression, but after you get past that guided linear bit, it's bad, Josh Brown. But the start of it's good. But I don't know. I think I didn't even buy the PS4 or the Xbox One back at launch back in 2013. I just, nothing about those systems at the time got me. I got a PS4 the Christmas, I guess it would have been a couple of months after that. I didn't get an Xbox One for like 2 or 3 years after that. I do agree with you that these newer systems are a bigger step up, and they, you know, normalizing things like 60 FPS and having that initial like 4K resolutions and having all those things, you know, are interesting. It's just, yeah, that sort of like person on the street thing, that thing, the way that Cleary was approaching it in our launch stream, of just sort of like, okay, what do I need this for? And I'm kind of going like, well, look at the windows, and look at this, and look, it's high, it's clearer, and like, hey, look at Demon's Souls, that looks great, right? And I felt like this generation, we've sort of had to justify the systems a little bit more. And it's not like the sentiment that we're discussing now is unique to this podcast. It is out there everywhere with people going like, are these systems worth £500,000? What am I going to play on them? And I think that whole thing of like, well, you play everything you already played on it. It's just that it looks better and it loads faster and it's higher frame rate. That's just such a unique angle that we're kind of at. But yeah.
Yeah, I do think, you know, the biggest issue, if there is one, in selling this to, you know, our bunch of mates or whatever, is the fact that the games just aren't quite there. Like, I think the one ace up the sleeve that gaming as a whole has always had is that it's got these franchises, these titles that people want to play and people know, and they don't care necessarily about what tech goes into it. They just want to know that it's the next big thing. They want to know that it's, you know, going to look better, going to run better or whatever. We don't necessarily have that at launch. So then you do have to go into more granular stuff. You have to talk about frame rate. You have to talk about resolutions. Mm. And when it comes to other industries, when people try to sell me on that in like for phones or something for the next like iPhone, like, or vinyl, it's not something I jive with. My like eyes just sort of glaze over and I just don't care. I'm sort of like the same as you. Like, I'll have a phone for a good while before I want something else. And the only reason I ever get a new phone is because I want a new phone. It's not necessarily because I care about like the next features or how many cameras it's got and stuff like that. And I kind of feel like this time around, gaming is more comparable to that because the games themselves haven't been able to be held up to be like, well, you can only play this. You can only play, you know, the next Assassin's Creed on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. Mm-hmm. And you've got Demon's Souls and you've got Godfall. But if you had more, if you had a bigger slate, I think the same sort of trump card that gaming has relied on for so long wouldn't have vanished and we wouldn't be getting into these debates about whether or not it's necessary, because I think fundamentally it is just the same as it's ever been, you know?
Yeah, I would still say they're fundamentally necessary if you care about gaming. Like, mm-hmm. I think that, especially on the Xbox side, that thing could not be a bigger endorsement of, if you literally want to put your love of gaming into practice, you get Game Pass and you get an Xbox. Like, it's just, it's access to multiple generations in one go. Everything looks better, auto HDR, 4K, 60, whatever. Like, I love that, especially on the Xbox. Like I said, on the Series side, you compare that to the PS Plus collection or PlayStation Now, like, they are great systems. But I think it's fascinating sort of picking apart like the necessity of it in regards to like how it differs. Like, it's not like we're not seasoned gamers. We've been playing a long time and we've seen like our share of system launches. And I think this one has the most nuance to it, which is like, that's what kind of what makes it so interesting. I guess, yeah, as the final potentially like super open-ended question, would you recommend that people spend £500,000 on a PS? Because I was going to say either, but like PS5 in your case.
It's so hard. Like, it's so, I don't want to be responsible for anyone buying this machine and then getting disappointed. I think obviously, you know, if you've, the financial reality of it is it's a lot of money. If you've only got that amount to spend on something, maybe don't think about
not
it,
eat. But, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's assume that this nebulous person has the money to spend and they don't know whether to invest or not.
Yeah, if you've got the money to spend, if you love games, I think it makes sense to try and get one. You know what I mean? I haven't regretted my time. You're going to be future-proof. There are, in my opinion, great games to play right now. And more importantly, the better versions of the games already out that you can play are significant enough so that, for the most part, at least from what I've played so far, it still feels like a next-gen experience. It still feels fundamentally like something that you can't get otherwise. Roll that in with like the PlayStation collection, the fact that the stupid PlayStation 5 doesn't sound like it's going to take off every time I boot it up, so I can actually hear the dialogue of what's going on. Those quality of life changes, both in terms of the UI and on the hardware. For me, I was desperate for a next gen upgrade long before this PlayStation 5 dropped, and I'm really looking forward to the future. So I endorse it, man. I think it's a good thing to pick up right now.
Yeah, I the biggest irony, and like maybe like just something that would be such a thing that I would say and do currently think, is that I think I recommend the Series X more than the PS5, but that's mainly because I don't personally value Godfall and Demon's Souls as reasons to pick up a PlayStation 5, whereas I do fundamentally value all the upscale stuff, the auto HDR stuff, and the access to legacy, like to all the content you have on the Xbox side. I think the Xbox does third-party enhancements so much better than the Sony side. So it's like, it's a weird thing, but I, yeah, it's like, if you're an enthusiast for this medium, then I think that obviously you can't go wrong with either, really. But it depends what you think you're going to be spending your time on. And if exclusives are a big part of that sell, then for me on the PlayStation side, they don't have that. Microsoft haven't bothered with it and just sort of said like, well, I get Halo Infinite's delayed and everything else is coming in a few years and let's just enjoy HDR Splinter Cell. And I think that like, that's fine. But yeah, I mean, it's not like there's any particular conclusion to this other than we are both the enthusiasts that would spend money on this stuff and we have. But I think that it's an ongoing conversation that like we've thrown our hats in, thrown our towels in.
Totally, and I'm going to come around your house, you know, socially acceptable or not. Can. Yeah. And probably throw a DualSense controller at you for saying it's not very good.
What, the DualSense?
Yeah, the DualSense is great. That's my final thing, is buy it for a DualSense. The DualSense is great, and I like the vibrations.
I'm going to... we'll probably do some sort of list on games the DualSense makes better, because I need to restart another No Man's Sky save, because apparently that has incredible haptics and stuff in it. But yes, rare is the day that I'm not restarting No Man's Sky. But yeah, come and find us on social media. Let us know what you think of the PS5, the Xbox, if you've managed... Xbox Series systems, if you've managed to get a hold of them, and what's your general thoughts on the necessity of the next generation. For now, Ivan Scott from whatculture.com, joined by Josh Brown.
Josh from whatculture.com.
Have every ending to everything we do all at once. This has been the News Lads. We've been the News Lads. Catch you next time.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.